there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Today we are going to look at the book of 1 Samuel, the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, and a very familiar story talking about David and Goliath. Now, we'll read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 42 through 50. Hear now the word of God. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Then it happened that the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David. That David quickly ran toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Thus says the word of God. Let's bow our heads and go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we ask today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we understand the message of David and Goliath, that we hear your word speak to us today, Lord, as only you can do, that in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls, we understand your message to us today. Holy Spirit, make clear your word. Make sure we understand your breath into our lives, that we may walk more like Jesus Christ, that we may understand the Word of God better and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we all say, Amen.
Well, I got to tell you this story. It's the story of Andre Roussanoff of Grenoble, France. You see, years ago, I looked this up, on June 24th, 1983, Jan and I and two of our friends decided it would be fun to go to a WWF wrestling match at the Civic Arena. Remember the Civic Arena? And lo and behold, who was supposed to be there and who was going to wrestle was a guy by the name of Andre the Giant. And he was going to wrestle another fellow by the name of Big John Studd. Then, if you remember this, these two guys? So we see all the ones who used to watch WWF. Okay. Now, this was kind of interesting. Our seats were on the floor of the Civic Arena, and it was right kind of by the aisle where these guys walked down. And when the wrestlers came out, first of all, Big John Studd comes out. Big John Studd, huge guy. Huge guy. When he came out, I remember thinking, whoa, you know, I'm standing by him and he's walking down. And I thought, this guy is enormous. He was huge. I'm thinking, what a giant he was. He was 6'10", 364 pounds. Huge man walking down this aisle. What a giant. Then Andre the Giant walks out. And I'll tell you what, I was blown away. The size of this man was incredible. I'd never seen anything like this in my life. I never have to this day. He made Big John Studd look like a normal size guy. I mean, when you saw them both together, Andre the Giant was 7'4" and 520 pounds. So he was 6 inches taller and 160 pounds heavier than Big John Studd. Now, you know, when you see somebody 6 inches taller than you, that's tall. I mean, they're a lot bigger than you are. And so Big John Studd, as compared to Andre the Giant, looked small in comparison. And as he walked past us, here's the crazy thing that I distinctly remember in my mind. His leg was bigger than I was. I mean, it was huge, huge. Years ago, I don't know if any of you remember seeing this, of a picture of like the big extremities that people had, and it was in Sports Illustrated. So they showed like the shoe of a basketball player was like size 17. And they showed the actual size of it. And then they showed Andre the Giant's hand holding but it was a 12-ounce can. And his hand wrapped around it like that. You couldn't even see the can. That's how big he was. You could fit a silver dollar through his ring. That's how huge he was. And I thought, you're looking at this wrestling match, and I remember thinking, how could anyone face such a giant? Well, our scripture reading tells of a mere boy in a life or death situation who faced a real giant. Now, the lesson that we can certainly learn from this is there are giants in all of our lives. Maybe some are physical. Most of them are trials. Giant trials that we have, that we must face in our great adventure with God. It's the Christian life. That's what makes it so adventurous. So in this story of our reading from Scripture, look at the odds of David versus Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17:33, then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." Now, when we go back in history and research this, and we look at what the possible age of David may have been, you come up with an age. He was either 11 years old or up to 16 years old. He's no older than that. So he was a very young teenager or even an adolescent, potentially. In 1 Samuel 17:4, then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, a cubit is 18 inches, so if you do the math, this rugged Philistine warrior was 9 feet 9 inches tall. It was huge. I mean, he would make Andre the Giant look small. His spearhead that he used in battle, just the spearhead alone, the iron on top of the stick, was 15 pounds. It's like having a bowling ball on top of your javelin. If you could imagine taking that, trying to throw that around. His armor was 130 pounds alone. Most likely weighed more than David did. Just simply Goliath's armor. And so, to the eyes of those around this epic battle, it looked like insurmountable odds, right? It seemed like a foolish suicide mission. You're watching this young kid. Why would the king even do this? Why would King Saul even send David? It seemed like it was without hope. But nonetheless, how was this feat then accomplished? How was this giant in David's life then defeated? And I think we can learn a lot from this story of the progress of this battle. You see, first, David had at least a small degree of experience fighting. No matter how small he was or how young he was, we read in Samuel 17:34, but David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him." See, in the giants that we face, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's issues or problems in your marriage, whether it's, you know, people that you just can't quite get along with, whether it's somebody who's threatening you, God gives us adventures in our lives. If we think about it, God will give us adventures in our lives that we can draw on to engage even more fearful encounters. Have you all experienced that? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, what are some of the giants in your life that you can draw on your prior experience to defeat? Rhetorical question. Just think about that. Think about the giants in your life that you need to defeat. What experience did God give you in order to begin to think about accomplishing that goal? Second, David was confident of the possibility of success, even though nobody else was. The whole of Israel looked and thought it was a joke. And so did the Philistines. Samuel 17:36, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." Now, for David to say that took great what? Courage. Yeah. So he was confident of the probability, the possibility of success. He had courage to take on this mission. David's courage arose from his experience and his sense of mission. He knew in his heart that this is something God was calling him to do. To put him in such a place and time for this distinct purpose. And he would pursue this perilous adventure that God had laid out before him. He was courageous to pursue it, no matter what might happen. Yet he was confident. And so then I ask and think about this. Are you confident of success over the giants that you must encounter? Are you confident over it? Do you have the courage to face your giant? Now, when God puts a mission in your life, He is never, ever going to do that in opposition to His word. Never. It will always be according to His word. In fact, that's how we discern God's mission in our life, can be a discerning idea, is that if you are going down a path that is not godly, then that's not a mission God is giving you. God will give you a mission that is on a godly path, according to His word. So that's where we look for discernment when we're questioning this mission that God has put us on. Now, third, David was sure of God's involvement. In other words, his great faith was certain. In 1 Samuel 17:37, and David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." He was certain of it. In 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands." Now, David saw something certain that was going to happen. And he saw it with the eyes of faith. We know that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we all know this. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, right? Certain of what we do not see. See, the eyes of our heart will make it clear. We will know what God wants us to do. We will know where God wants us to go. We will even have a vision of the outcome of it in certain circumstances. And so when you come into contact with a giant that you face, your faith will see you through. Your faith will see you through this outcome that God has intended for your life. It will. And lastly, what do we learn from David? Is that David, in this whole episode, in this whole adventure, in this whole perilous mission that he achieved, he did not take the credit for it. He gave the credit to God. 1 Samuel 17:47, "And that all this assembly may know," David said, "that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands," he says to Goliath. See, David drew on the experience, the prior experiences that God had given him. He knew that God had given him a God-filled mission. In other words, he had a purpose in time and place. David mustered up the courage to confront the giant. David had great faith that God would see him through the mission he gave him. And upon his success, the credit of overcoming insurmountable odds was given to God alone. And you see, this adventure, this story in the life of David became his living testimony. Beloved, there are giants in all of our lives that we must face in our great adventure with God. Look at this prescription that God has given you. Consider the prior experience that He's given you. Verbalize in your mind and actualize the mission, the purpose that God has given you. Know it in your heart, mind, and soul. Muster up God-given courage to confront your giant. And have faith that God will see you through the mission that He gave you. He will. And whatever success you achieve, give the credit of overcoming your giant to God alone. You see, beloved, the life of a human being, the life of a child of the living God, is a life of adventure. That we are not called to monasticism and just stay in a cell and pray all day long. We are called to be out in life, living the mission and adventure that God puts on our hearts. And that is an awesome life. I'm sure that we all have stories that we could tell of this same sort of thing where God gave you a mission and you had courage to achieve it and you gave credit to God. And when you do, you too then have a living testimony of God at work in your life that you can share with others. Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you do give us missions in life. It happens all the time. We just have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of the Holy Spirit in our lives who teaches us, who gives us wisdom, who allows us to perceive and know this mission that we're being sent on, Lord. It's not complicated. It's just seeing wherever you work. It's just understanding wherever you are, coming alongside and serving you, being confident that you will enable us in whatever it is you call us to do. That our hearts need not be faint. That we can indeed rise up on wings as eagles. We can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not be faint. You are an enabling God, Holy Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who gives all we need to pursue your plan in our lives. Thank you for such a great adventure. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org. Or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.